Well, good morning, everyone. Today I wanted to start off with a snapshot into nursing home ministry. On a typical Sunday, I'm the pastor of missional formation here at Cornerstone, but part of my ministry is leading a small skilled nursing care facility in Edgewater, a small service there, and it's a couple miles from here. And some of you have been there. Wonderful place to worship with God's people. And my Sunday, every Sunday, means going door to door, inviting residents to our service. And pretty often I hear something like this. Oh, Pastor, I'm sorry. You know, I haven't been good at praying this week. I've actually forgotten to read my Bible. And so I don't think I'm in a place to worship today. I just haven't been a good Christian this week. Today our gospel passage is John 15. I share that snippet because there's an idea we often have in our heads, this internalized standard of what it means to abide in Jesus. And if we're not doing that thing or those practices, we can kind of count ourselves out of the journey with Jesus. And that's not to say practices of attention to Jesus aren't important. They are crucial. But my heart is to reframe our sense of abiding. There's so much richness in this passage, but I want to focus in because Jesus has an intent that is not to condemn, not to count us out, but to draw us into himself and the life that he has for us. Jesus, in our gospel passage, invites us into an abiding friendship with him. Jesus is giving these last few words to his disciples before he's handed over to suffering and death on the cross. It's a moment with his friends who have been abiding with him, a fleeting moment where he gets the last bit of time to share what he needs them to hear. And here, he lets them in on the secret of life in him. Abide in me. Abide in me. And friends, as we explore these words, here's a through line that's helped frame my exploration of this passage. Abiding in Christ is not about perfection, but fruitfulness. Abiding in Christ is not about perfection, but fruitfulness. He's given us these words because he's about our flourishing. But we show up with all of ourselves, with all of the trimming and the shaping that we need. He's the one who's taking care of it. He's taking care of us. He's steadily guiding us towards fruitful lives. So friends, we'll be looking at two themes today. First, we abide in Jesus in imperfect days. And second, Jesus cultivates us towards fruitful ways. As we get started, what's it about, that key word that gets repeated over and over? What's that about? Abiding. You see it everywhere in this passage, just 10 times, in fact. You can turn with me to page 901 in your pew Bibles to see what I mean. It's all over the place. A lot of other Bible translations say remain here. We have an ESV Bible in the pews. Remain in me and I in you. Remain in my love. But abide, I like it as a word. It's an old English word that means remain or stay steady or keep your position. And it's got a link to that word abode, as in welcome to my humble abode, that funky thing that some of us say to visitors, right? There's a living with him, Jesus being in the same abode as us, 24/7. As J.I. Packer writes, there's a sense of always to be resting on him, anchored to him, fixed in him, drawing from him, continually connected and in touch with him. Abiding is steady, determined activity towards Jesus and his ways. Let me say that again. Abiding is steady, determined activity towards Jesus and his ways. It's a rich theme in John's gospel, especially in these last precious moments with his close friends. You can almost see them leaning in as he says these words, their friend, their teacher. They're hanging on his every word. They're abiding with him, literally, right now, in the same place with him, in this passage as they're hearing this. But there's a clear sense that very shortly now, that will no longer be true. Right? In John 14, last week's gospel passage that my wife Donovan preached on, Jesus has been very clear that I will go elsewhere to prepare a place for you. go to my heavenly home. And there's an urgency that he has with this word, abide. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. There's an urgency. Keep on in that steady, determined activity towards friendship with me, even after I've left you. But, and this is getting to my first point, we abide with Jesus in imperfect days. He calls his disciples and us today to abide with him when he's not physically in their humble abodes, or he's not physically present in our humble abodes today, right? We don't see him clearly all the time. We hear him wrong. We get it wrong. We fail. We wish it were easier to follow him. Couldn't he just give us a little more content? Maybe a step-by-step guide for building the ultimate Christian life? Right? Couldn't he just show up himself and whisper into our ear the next faithful step for us? Couldn't he just do that? But we forget that abiding and fruitfulness must come with pruning. I kept on coming back to this one part of our passage in preparing for today. In verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Friends, pruning, far from just painful or unpleasant soul work, it's not a sideshow in our journey with Jesus. Far from it. It's the main drama of his invitation to us in a decidedly imperfect world. He sees fruit in us. He rejoices. He's that gleeful gardener who loves his cultivating work. Maybe that's you. Maybe, I'm sure all of us know someone like that. But he sees the fruit and he prunes some more. And he has to prune us. We come with our very imperfect selves. He lovingly cares for us. Sometimes it's those garden clippers he uses to trim off maybe a damaging habit there, a subtle sin pattern there, right? But not always. I'll never forget a guest speaker that came to my Christian college's chapel service, the message she gave on this passage where she waved a machete in front of the student body. It sent a clear message. Sometimes there's so many lies we cling to, or destructive behaviors, or prideful habits of thought. God's got some major chopping to do. It can be so painful, so confusing, so hard to trust that God knows what he's doing. There's that side of things. There's another side to abiding in Jesus in imperfect days. Not only do we bring our imperfect, sinful selves that need pruning, sometimes life is imperfect in a different way. Life is just plain busy. How much abiding in Jesus can there be in a day like that? Now, I know we don't normally dedicate sermons to people, but if you guys would humor me, this one's dedicated to Donovan. She's not able to be here in the room right now. She's down in children's ministry. But a couple days ago, she asked me, what does abiding look like when kids haven't napped, when it's been nonstop all day? Also, entirely, by the way, it's Mother's Day. I want to stop and say a huge thank you to you moms at Cornerstone. You've given a lot in all the imperfect days. But this sentiment, this sense of how does abiding look when life is busy and imperfect and less than ideal, is something that many of us hold, don't we? Not just moms by any stretch. Right? How can we be abiding, always drawing from him, in J.I. Packer's words? If abiding in Christ is not about perfection, but fruitfulness, if that's true, what does fruitfulness look like in the day-to-day craziness of my day? G.K. Chesterton has a word for us in all the imperfect days. He says this, if a thing is worth doing, it is worth doing badly. And what he means by that is he's not giving us a pass for shabby discipleship. That I must say, right up front. No, what he's saying is, it is worth loving God in the amateurish ways, the ways that need pruning and shaping, because that is the only way. Our Savior is beckoning us to follow him, and sometimes it's in fits and starts, right? We might want to say, hey, you know, I'm remembering back in the day, the earlier part of my Christian life, and I was used to having all this time spent with the Lord and seeing him grow me. Am I just doing it wrong now? Am I a deficient disciple? Can there still be moments where I can abide in this insane work season, or in this maxed out grad school semester, or in this nonstop season of my family life? The past couple days, I did an experiment. At the end of the day, each day, I asked the question, where were the moments I felt a lightness or a joy from the Lord today? I just ran through my day. It's a time-honored spiritual practice called the examine. And there were these little abiding moments. They were not very impressive, right? Standing up while playing around with my kids to offer a short breath prayer, asking God to meet us. Or, full disclosure, singing a short Christmas hymn while setting the table. I know it's May. It's weird, but it's true. Remembering the miracle of Jesus' birth. Thanking the Lord for the gifts he's put in one of my colleagues. Or imagining Jesus, bringing to mind the image of Jesus blessing my little girls, putting a hand on them as they're sitting in their stroller. Right, little moments like that. In the middle of days when I've, just to be honest, lost patience with my kids, or just not thought about the Lord as much as I wanted to. Right, abiding can look so small, friends. Small but steady moments of turning our gaze to Jesus and stepping closer to him. And what was neat with all those instances, looking back on those, is that it made me want to do more of them. It made me want more of Jesus. And where does this abiding, this closeness to Jesus, take us? Here's that second part. Jesus cultivates us towards fruitful ways. They weave into each other, right? Abiding into fruitfulness. Fruitfulness into abiding. Jesus, in John 14, the end of that chapter, he's just shared about the coming Holy Spirit. That even when Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit will be with them. He will be filling them. He will be giving them fruit. He will be making them look more and more like Jesus, like their friend. The Galatians 5 list of the Holy Spirit's gifts: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those gifts will begin to fill us more and more as we stick close to Jesus. Make that determined effort to stick close to our friend Jesus. My peace grows as I thank the Lord for his everyday gifts. My joy level ticks up a little bit. Singing that Christmas hymn makes me want more of Jesus. Abiding in Christ is not about perfection, but fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is the sign that our relationship is going somewhere. Think about a friendship you've had that's one-sided, right? You're always the one calling or texting or reaching out, and your friend either doesn't text you back or texts or calls you back like way, way later. Like a pattern of cycle of that, right? It's draining, isn't it? It feels like you're getting nowhere in that friendship. What is this even about? But for us in our relationship with God, he always invites our relationship away from a one-sidedness. He invites us towards fruitful abiding, living in loving submission to his good ways for us. Because God has been loving each of us on planet Earth from eternity past to eternity future, he always will love us. That part of the relationship is secure. But fruitfulness lets us break out of passivity in our souls. Fruitfulness, fruitful, imperfect abiding with Jesus, that effort of our wills and souls to respond to the one we love, that deepens and enriches our relationship. It's almost like a well-aged wine. I remember years ago visiting a winery in California. Such richness in some of those wines. In a similar way, friends, in our deepening relationships with our God, there's those complex notes of faithfulness, the ups and downs of life in Him, working themselves out in loving obedience and fruitfulness that are adding to the beauty of our story with Him. Fruitfulness, the kind that comes from abiding with Jesus, comes from taking that opportunity to connect and reconnect with the Lord. Jesus cultivates us towards fruitful ways. It's His love that fills us. That short prayer gave us the patience we needed for wading through frustrating office politics. Or that hymn gave us joy in the midst of a family crisis. Or that image of Jesus' compassion from Scripture that renews a spirit of kindness in us. You see, God's the one who's given so much in this relationship, our relationship with Him. Fruitfulness is the relationship moving forward again, that all too often one-sided friendship between us and the Lord. It's asking the question, what can I do that delights you, Jesus? As your friend, I want to know more than anything. Jesus hears that prayer. Jesus loves to hear those words. And those little acts of abiding lead to ever greater fruitfulness. Because we so often get it wrong, right? We think believing the right things about Jesus, knowing the right stuff, that's got to bring the fruitfulness, right? Or we say to ourselves, if I could just create this system for myself to have the perfect Bible reading time, I'll get the fruitfulness. And as vital as it is to believe that Jesus is the risen Son of God who has authority to guide our life and submitting ourselves to His authority, as vital as it is to attend to the Word of God, none of that replaces our abiding. The late Pope Benedict XVI says these words, "Christianity is not an intellectual system, a collection of dogmas, or a moralism. Christianity is instead an encounter, a love story. It is an event. Abiding in Christ is not about perfection, but fruitfulness. We love, we respond in love because He first loved us." To paraphrase John, the beloved disciple, in one of his letters, the love encounter, the love story sweeps us into it. His radical love for us, and then invites our radical love for Him, if we will step in and abide. If you're hearing this sermon today, and for you personally, you actually don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but part of you longs for that abiding love, longs for that fruitful life, I invite you today, abide in Jesus alongside us here at Cornerstone. We are figuring things out. We are walking forward in messy obedience. But join us as God brings fruit right here in our souls, in our church, in our zip code. Come to Jesus in faith and fulfill Jesus' promise in that last verse, verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Oh, Cornerstone, to be a church full of joy because of our abiding. That's His deepest desire for us, His ultimate invitation. As I get ready to wrap things up, I want to share briefly the story of a professor and mentor of mine. He's had a lifelong history of depression, and especially in his early teenage years, there was a personal tragedy that struck his family. His father died. That left him crippled and trapped in these depressive thought patterns. But his family is a Christian family, and in all of that, he heard Jesus. He heard the Lord invite him closer. And in his deepening practice of listening to the Lord, he stepped in. He began to began a practice of abiding with the Lord, especially through short written prayers of gratitude every day, throughout the day. And these prayers began to do something inside of him. No longer was his depression the crushing force it had been. Instead, he found an undercurrent of joy building in his soul. Hard won, hard fought joy, the fruit of faithful abiding. That abiding with Jesus made possible what could never have been without the Lord. And he'd be the first to tell you that there were then, there are now, good days, bad days, days when the depression seems to be winning, he finds himself wanting to give in, and better days when light shines through the darkness. God's used my mentor to equip and strengthen the next generation of Christian leaders to abide in grateful love for Jesus. Because friends, our abiding in Jesus in all the imperfect, messy ways bears much fruit, not just for my mentor, but for you and me and all our journeys as disciples of Jesus. Abiding in Christ is not about perfection, but fruitfulness. May the pruning work of the master gardener bear all the more fruit in you and me, and cultivate this community here at Cornerstone, bringing joy, bearing abundant fruit far beyond these four walls. That's my heartfelt prayer for us. Let me pray as we close. Lord, we ask that you would work in us the power of your Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that needs to be pruned or chopped or trimmed or shaped, we trust you to do your work. We trust you because we know, Lord, that you care for us more than we care for ourselves. You want our greatest fruitfulness. Give us grace with ourselves in those imperfect days when we feel like we don't have the space to attend to you like we wish. Help us to trust that you are accomplishing your good work still in us. Lord, may we here at Cornerstone be known as a community that asks, what would delight you, Jesus? A family that steps forward in faithful obedience towards your purposes, cultivating your fruit in these walls, in our city. We love you. We pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.